Welcome from me, I'm Lea Luka-Sikau, curator for sound, art and music at the ZKM, Center for Art and Media in Karlsruhe. And in this podcast format, we have the chance to meet extraordinary musicians, composers, performers, instrument makers, interpreters, researchers that try to examine, explore, take apart concepts of spatial sound. And we do that within the theme of Turns Echo Exo. Turns is a concert series here at ZKM where we have the chance to work with a spatial sound system. And the series theme this year is Echo Exo. We are sponsored by the Musikfonds this year. And Echo Exo is engaging with huge and tiny scales. Screaming vibration, the topic of this episode, but also the concert in the Turns series, brings together notions of the psyche with the environment. So we focus on this echo theme, like the ecologies around us, and bring them in connection with our human psyche being molded and morphed by virtual environments, by physical environments, by past and future trajectories. So now I'm going to speak first with Lila Zoe Kraus and then with Rojin Sharafi, and we are also going to have the chance to listen to chunks of their works that they will premiere here at ZKM.
Hello, I'm Lila Zoe Kraus, and I'm a multimedia artist and musician. So I've known about the ZKM for a longer time, of course, but was happy to get in touch after I applied to this residency. And then we had a call and, yeah, to kind of like start talking about the project and you also offering or opening the space for me to work here and start to engage more with the spatial system, which I have done in several contexts, also in the theater, but not, yeah, in this expanded way, and also not with my own concert. So that's a completely new thing.
And tell us a bit more about kind of your approach to opera and theater or music, because you were saying that you are engaging a lot with the theater scene and also a lot of kind of the visual art scene. You're making opera installations yourself. And how does it, or what does it mean for you to then come here and work really on these crisp sound systems that are removed from the white box of the museum?
I mean, I'm developing this project or my art practice since now almost 10 years. And it started really as a music practice, although I was studying art. But I started writing music and performing first, trying to actually build the space that I want to speak through. So I knew from the beginning that I wanted to combine different media to tell a story, but I still needed to find out how I want to tell the story and how this could be done, kind of like not following the strict conventions that we know from the theater space, the state theater space, or strict concert spaces. So this was the aim. And then slowly through the musical language, I think I found back to the visual world as well. And of course, somehow naturally, this brings video into the play because it's a very specific visual medium with which you can construct spaces and work with theatricality. And then at the same time, the theater comes into the space through the musical performance anyways, but then also through telling a story and thinking through figures and imagining myself as a character as well. So I think before the opera came to life, I tried out different characters or things just within the simple concert format or setting. And then, yeah, after I finished art school and kind of some years went by. I was living in Berlin. I started to really work on this first opera project after her destruction and try to bring it all together for the first time. And there, this kind of like led to coming here for me now to work on the second opera project. So it's also interesting moment because I kind of know for the first time my tools, so to say, and the strategy. And it always starts with the music. So again, this was great to be able to come here and start working here because the music is also kind of the starting point for the new project.
When we started talking about collaborating, you were also thinking about this notion of echo anxiety. In our series Echo Exo, it's a lot about this kind of longing for extraterrestrial kind of notions or perspectives beyond the human, but also zooming into kind of the immediate environment that is maybe even kind of smaller than us and how we can perceive this as well on a microscopic scale. And we were really interested in kind of exploring this notion of what does it mean if environments change drastically. And then your first opera, After Her Destruction, you were also kind of thematizing a lot how the digital and the kind of the physical world kind of merge and mutate, and what does it do to the character when this also happens. So maybe you can elaborate a bit more on this notion of environment and echo anxiety in your relation to your work.
Yeah, so the way I work is autofictional as well, right? So the main character of the opera is Girl, who is played by me. And there's another character, the mother, who is Manacled Woman, and who is also deemed to be mad. And the whole opera is set in a kind of dystopian present. So there's a fictional element to that, but it's not so fictional also, I would say. And this character, Girl, grows up in a world, early 21st century, where we already know about the destruction of the planet. We already know about, kind of like the climate change. We basically live through it in some places more than in others. And we have also really been socialized through the struggles around that kind of growing up. It was something everyone was talking about, right? The climate change is happening. And I think we are now more and more coming towards that reality. So in this way, I would say, I want to create, like, the way the project relates to eco anxiety is more that we need to figure out new ways of subjectivizing in general to form a different kind of society, which is based on really being in touch with difficult feelings and also complex, difficult constellations of people and the world and politics, right? So, but this I mean in the most radical way. I don't mean like, oh, it's complicated. I mean, it means to really face what the systems of oppression have brought and to like be accountable for white people, be accountable for states that have colonized. This is on one side, right? But also, face the struggles that can lead to some kind of like collective solidarity, which is a very difficult process, I think.
Bis zur nächsten Hitzewelle, während woanders Krieg ist, kaufen Menschen im Westen ein Haus, ein Auto, schalten das Licht an, schlafen am Abend im Bett, fahren mit dem Zug, die Psychopharmaka wirken, irgendwie, 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 während manche reich, der Rest bleibt arm. Nichts Neues, nichts Neues, nichts Neues.
I think one question that I would be also interested in is like whether you think about the audience perceiving your piece in a way, especially when you're dealing with this autofiction or topics of psychoanalysis, because of course it's also bringing maybe people that listen to it in vulnerable states and that make them identify with kind of the character of your opera. And so I was just curious to learn more about this.
Yeah, it's true. I think I more and more also see that I myself, like that I make myself quite vulnerable. But I think that's very important for me as, at least as a performer, to be very honest. That doesn't mean that everything is true that I'm saying, but of course I draw from my experience and also experience with psychiatry and so on. So it's like, I think there's these two, or there's these two things. In one way, I find it important to make myself vulnerable. So I am also offering the audience to look into these places in themselves, which can feel frightening. But I do also want to give them maybe the courage to see that you can draw strength from looking into these places that feel very frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, we cannot wait to hear it tonight, but also then hopefully online very soon. So thank you again for coming and having this very open conversation about your process. So we're here with Rogine Sharafi, a composer and sound artist living in Vienna. I would love for you to introduce yourself, say a few words about what brings you here and what are you going to explore?
Sure. As you said, my practice is more focused on electronic music. Although my background is in composition, I started with composing for acoustic instruments and ensembles, and then also larger ensembles. But then I shifted more towards electronic music. It had several reasons. One of them was basically the sounds that I was searching for was easier to find in realm of electronic music. And also I wanted to work with more rehearsal time, as it's always hard to find enough rehearsal time when you're working with ensembles. It's always very the time is very limited, so I wanted to have more time because it was always like I was composing for 6, 7, 8, 9 months, and then the rehearsals were like only 2-3 sessions, each 1 hour. Or that was a bit hard working environment for me as well, and also the hierarchy that sometimes you find in that work. But as I shifted more towards electronic music, I was also very much interested in live electronic, how to process instruments, how to... but from the beginning on, I started working with analog synthesizers, one of the instruments that I'm gonna play tonight. It's a Prophet synthesizer, which is tuned to a microtonal scale. So I'm basically using other scales. And The other thing that I really wanted to explore was also spatialized music. And I had opportunities in the past to work with multi-channel. One time in Domingberg in Graz, they have this cave-like venue, and I could compose a piece for there. And then I was involved in this project that I told you about before, Autosonics. I'm very happy to expand it and work here in Kubus.
Would you like to tell us a bit more about the theme of your work, your composition, or this cluster of different tracks is called A Symptom. And I think it also connects really well to what Lila is doing, in a sense, like Lila is also looking at psychoanalysis and psychotherapy and psychiatry, in terms of kind of breaking down patterns between madness and societal stigmatization, and I think you're working with also conceptual layers of psychoanalysis. So what is this symptom, for people that don't know the term?
It's always hard to explain a very therapeutic or very theoretical term, but I try my best to do that. So I basically, for this project symptom, I worked with different concepts, and one of them, as you said, is connected to psychoanalysis. I start with that, and then I talk a little bit about what is my approach to time. So basically, Lacan, in one of his later works, I think it's Seminar 23, or if I'm not mistaken, he talks about a fourth knot. So basically, in his system, there are three main knots, human psyche is basically based on these three knots. And the knots are called imaginary, symbolic, and real. And he was working with this system of psyche and defining a lot of things. And later on, when he was, for example, analyzing Joyce's work, he came to a fourth knot, which is called symptom, and it's kind of written similar to symptom, but it has this big difference. One of the main difference to symptom is that symptom is something that can be analyzed and can be healed, and symptom is basically what brings these three parts of the psyche together and makes one psyche not to fall apart. So I was very interested in this quality, or in this thing. I tried to make it more abstract and bring it to the music, because I very much work with entanglement, and I wanted to find that element, or that bigger thing that makes all these elements not to fall apart, and to connect them, and to make them all having their space. And these elements that I'm talking about is, for example, how to bring elements from different music cultures together, how to bring different scales from music cultures together, how to bring sounds with different qualities together, how to bring different elements in music, like rhythm, texture, timbre, whatever together, but without any hierarchy, or how to bring present, past and future all entangled in each other. So Syntom in a way tries to keep all these elements together without falling apart.
We will also experience you singing, so like performing with the synth, with your voice and with the computer and the spatialization, of course. And what are you telling in this narrative that you're singing, or what are you exploring with your voice?
When I use words, it's always hard to... Actually, what I enjoy most about music is that it's abstract, and it leaves a lot of room for interpretation. And it was interesting because it's a track that actually I wasn't sure if it needs a vocal at all. And it was during a very intense days in January, and I wanted to find the right words for that specific situation that me and a lot of other people that I knew were in. And I decided to choose a piece of poem by Khayyam, a quite old Iranian poet, which shows that how, again, past and present and future are entangled in each other, that some fights are never open, how past is not closed, how it resonated also with this time that we are living in. And that's crazy because I think it's been written 700 years ago, and it's very touching to see that some struggles have been given to generations. And in a way, I think it's better not to translate it, because, you know, also with poem, it's hard to translate them, and then it becomes like very superficial. But I feel like I try to bring that emotions, also if you don't understand the words, but you can have your own imagination or interpretation what's going on in the lyrics.
Thank you so much for joining us this time. The next episode will be Wolves and Throats. So it will concentrate on wolf choirs, wolf howling, and will go in the fringes of the human larynx, the human voice box. So we hope that you listen next time.